Okay, our opening scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And I'm going to read it out of the King James first and then the NIV because... Okay, good, we can go to back and forth quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. King James says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I like the word provoke. Oftentimes, when you think of provocation or provoking, it's a prompting, it's an urging. Also, sometimes people use it to... it goes beyond an argument to the point where if you provoke somebody long enough, they might whack you. It just could happen. But when it comes to the provoking that this is talking about, the NIV was, I think, quite good. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." And I think that as a body, I really believe that we see a lot of that. We see it here because we're so connected. And then he says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching," capital D, the day of the Lord. I like the way that's written because it says not giving up meeting together. That tells me that it wasn't God, and you can't blame the devil because the person made a quality decision that they were just going to withdraw and go to the Church of the Inner Springs, if you will. And how much that person really loses during that period of time, and it may just be for a season. Sometimes people can get really discouraged and just drop off the radar for a period of time. They may hear things that would cause them to not want to go back. And what I've noticed is that after a while, if that continues, the person becomes extremely prone to a critical spirit about everything that's going on around them. Many have lost their joy. They start looking and fault-finding at everything they see. They start tearing people down instead of building them up. And it's the exact opposite of God's plan for the body of Christ, which is we're all to be connected together, not just this fellowship or that fellowship. It's His church. And as you see the day of the Lord approaching, it doesn't take a lot of insight to see that as times are hastening towards His return, that there is great turmoil in the heavenlies as well. These prayer opportunities that are coming up are no small thing, and they're not something that's happening out of season. It's in season. It's a perfect time because the enemy raises up a standard as well. And he looks... I like to relate it like this. You often hear me talk about Mrs. Holloway, the lady that has sheep, and when I go up there and paint her buildings in the summertime, every once in a while, a coyote or a coy dog will snatch one of her sheep. And I pondered that over the years and noticed that the one that got snatched was the one who wanted to be the Lone Ranger, if you will, and just kind of dabble around out on the edges and leave the rest of the sheepfold. Leaving the cluster of sheep where there was safety, because I don't know if you realize it or not, but you get a flock of sheep and those little hoofs, And if anyone steps into their territory, they can do an awful stomp job on somebody, and I've seen it happen with hers. That's spiritual warfare played out in the flesh, a good sheep stomping, where they will literally attack something that's attacked them. But if you're the person who isolates yourself over the course of time, you tend not to be a person who is productive anymore and encouraging and building others up. You put yourself in the very dangerous place of having to be the recipient of someone coming to you to build you up and encourage you, because you've lost that ability to connect and really see the truth, the true picture of what's going on, and you get very lonely, very isolated, very weak, and you run the risk of spiritually getting yourself in a place where you can get very discouraged and almost despondent, to the point where you might entertain giving up. It's happened before. None of you might ever get to that place, but when you do what I do for a little while, those people are all around me. They're all around you. So this is a very important verse of Scripture, that when we come together, encouraging one another and building each other up is very important. You know, in your workplaces, that it isn't always an easy day to go in there and function in a right spirit and a right attitude, because there's always somebody ready to push your button or step on your fingers on that ladder of success to get to the top and run you roughshod and get you out of the way. Life isn't fair. But we have an advantage of the true picture of the body of Christ and how each gathers together with one another. We're of like spirit, like mind. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And look at who gave the invitation to start with. It was God who initiated through the ministry of reconciliation being welcome in His family. I mean, He welcomed us. That's why I said, you know, when God got me, I felt like I almost bankrupted heaven. But then He didn't know you, so... This is important. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. You notice it becomes a lifestyle. This may start off as you might get ticked off at something, and most of the time they're misunderstandings that can easily be resolved. But if you just walk out saying, "Never going back there anymore, I'm all done going to church," and you carry that in your spirit, it really makes it hard for you to eventually come to that place where you're even willing to hear the Holy Spirit anymore. So please, if you were entertaining the thought of doing that, please at least check with me first. I won't stop you. I won't lock you in. And if you really want to, but don't allow yourself at such a time as this, with all that's happening. I think this is one of the greatest generations that we've been privileged to live in and be a part of, for seeing the things of the Lord. There's wonderful things all over the world that God is doing. They can't dig enough pits in the desert in Iraq to baptize new believers that have coming out of the Muslim faith. In Afghanistan and even in Iran, you don't hear that on fake news, as Donald Trump calls it. But there are really, really wonderful things happening. And if you isolate yourselves, you tend to miss out on a lot of the good things of the Lord that He's doing. So that it's more difficult for you to allow someone to build you up. And this is a pattern. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. But you got to be present to do that. So keep that in mind. And if you know somebody that's in a funk and they've just kind of fallen into this, it's always worth a try to at least lovingly, and don't go and judge them, because you don't really know what happened most of the time. Don't go presupposing you know all the answers to why they left church, because many of us don't. But if you at least let them talk, most of the time it's going to come out why. And that's when we can be very effective with people like who've come to that place where they've pulled the plug on their faith many times. So just be available. We're supposed to be ready in season and out to give an answer to those who ask of the hope that's within each of us. There are a lot of hurting people, and many of them are believers who have been deceived or hurt or wounded and kind of fallen by the wayside, and we're not to just trample over them. We're to pick them up, brush them off, and help them get built back up in their faith. God needs every warrior in His kingdom, in His army. So if you can carry the armor sometimes for somebody, that's not a bad thing either. Last week, an interesting thing happened, one of many. But the last worship song had to do with eagles. And after you all left, I found this feather in the middle of the aisle, and I said, I'm going to save that. I don't know if it's a chicken feather, a pigeon feather, or what kind of feather it is, but it is a bird feather. And I found this after everybody had gone home last Sunday. Now, if that had been a $20 bill, but a feather after the wonderful outpouring of the Spirit last week, and what a precious reminder that there is someone greater than us who hears and knows and pays attention to what's going on here among us. It could have been. You probably flew a little off course for missing one feather, but I don't know. It's been a couple of weeks since we talked a little more about prophesying, and I wanted to read the last little part of my notes about describing it a little more before we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but probably not today. But what I'd like to do is just to kind of bring it all together in a couple little paragraphs. Prophesying is a vocal miracle of speech in one's own language. We know that already from the scriptures that talk about that. Otherwise, there would be no reason for tongues. If prophesying was not in a known language, it wouldn't benefit anyone because you couldn't understand it. As speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for the purpose of edification, exhortation, and comfort. So those three things are very important when it comes to prophesying. It can be, and outwardly it might seem to be very abrupt, it might seem stern, it might be kind of catch you off guard for a minute if the Lord has sent a word to you through somebody and it catches your attention. It can seem very, I think abrupt is good because it makes you just stop and listen, because when that anointing is on that specific word, you just know it's true and you know where it came from. The Hebrew word for prophesying means to flow forth or to spring forth. So that's a reference to the wellspring of life down on the inside of each one of us, the Holy Spirit. It also carries the thought of bubbling forth like a fountain, or to tumble forth. The Greek word for prophesy means to speak for another. It means to be the spokesman for someone else. Literally, it means to speak for God and to be his mouthpiece. And that's where we've kind of emphasized about making sure as much as we can, if the Lord gave you a word, that you know from whom it came, and the responsibility, if you will, of speaking for the Lord. And you could say, why does God need anyone to speak for him? Well, because not everybody hears him. You could be that mouthpiece because you put a voice, if you will, to God's voice or to God's Spirit. You give the Spirit voice. Would you say that's accurate, David? We give voice to the Spirit in legible, understandable words. Application. How do we apply this? How does that work for us? Sometimes there is an element of prophecy or prophesying in preaching when one is anointed by the Holy Spirit and inspired to say something which comes from the Spirit and not the mind. Boy, I've had that happen a lot. I have my nice little nifty notes and then all of a sudden I'm speaking something that's so radically new. It's like, I didn't write that down anywhere. And then if you ask me what I said, I'll say, ask Tom. It's now on the CD because I don't even remember that. But there's just things that he brings an emphasis to at times that you just know that you could stop and think all those things up because they can happen very quickly. As an example, you as a Spirit-filled believer may be witnessing to someone when the Lord may suddenly anoint you to speak out things you hadn't planned to say. That ever happened to some of you? You got this nice little presentation ready, you're going to meet with somebody and you show up and they show up and then all of a sudden you start speaking stuff into their life that you had no intent to. You didn't go there with that purpose, but the Holy Spirit took advantage of you being there and gave you words specifically for that very moment, for that hour, to speak into that person's life for this reason. To cause the person to break their stubbornness, maybe break out of a lethargic way of thinking or something, to jar them out of their comfort zone and their routine way of doing things, saying things, practicing things, and the Lord will give you a word and you speak it, and suddenly they just snap out of the fog. It really means something to them because it goes from God's Spirit to your spirit and it bypasses the mind. It can cause a person to repent from wrong behavior or activities or whatever. But it could be something as simple as learning to love a person more like Christ's love. And that isn't simple, but it is in terms of we're always looking for these great grandiose revelations, but something like learning to love the way Jesus loved. And it's easy here because you know, like we're all of the same spirit, but what about the marketplace when you go to the stores or the post office or at work? And the person that cuts you off on the highway, and the Spirit of God would say, I want you to love that person the way I love you. Be ready. Prophesying always exalts Jesus as the only Savior of man. Revelation 19:10. It is for women as well as for men. Oh, you won't get in trouble here. Rejoice. This is his church. We just have the privilege of being a part of it. And it's a place where we can learn and practice these things together. And I so much encourage that. If you feel like a word bubbling up to speak it, please do. It won't take long to find out if it was or if it wasn't, but that's how we learn. When you learn what his voice, how he speaks to you, and recognize it. We have some references for the women and men both prophesying. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Acts chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Oh, and it's to be desired. I think it's really unhealthy to come to any church, but particularly one that is very freeing and encouraging in these areas, to come and say, "Ah, boy, I hope God don't give me a message in tongues today, because I don't like doing that. I hope he picks somebody else. Because if they mess up, I'm zipping my lip. Lord, don't use me today." Oh, no. Man, when we come here, that's different. It's okay. It should be okay in all New Testament churches. But some in leadership have a control issue. They don't want the people to be that provocative in their worship, because he's lost control. And you're all just getting radical and messing everything up. Come on, just messing with you. Well, like I said, if you're jumping in the river, you're not going without me. We're in this together. But come desiring for the Lord to use you. No show of hands, but when was the last time on your way to church you asked God to use you today? Did anybody say that today? One? Yeah, okay. That's one is good. One with God is a majority.
They used my Sharpie over Jesus'
issue. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, she wrote Jesus on the bottom of her shoe with a Sharpie. Because it's a good reminder that he should be under our feet where the scripture says that he is. And every time he looks up, he sees the name of Jesus on the bottom of our shoe. And that's the devil's worst nightmare, is that you'd get out of bed and put your shoes on with the name of Jesus on them. Because he knows he's got a task ahead of him that day to put up with you. Because if you're willing to do that, no stopping you. Powerful, mighty. And again, its purpose is always to edify, exhort, and to bring comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:3. So as I'm giving these references from 1 Corinthians, that's why it's just that neat things keep happening, and we're just not quite there to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 yet. But when we do, we'll be able to read it all in its place. There were many in the Old Testament who prophesied. Moses, David, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And you think of these prophets, when God anointed them to speak a word and then they spoke it. That's prophesying. It was an anointed word from the Lord, and they were God's spokesperson for that moment, for that hour. So, but you think about, you and I have the same privilege in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, we see the gift of prophesying imparted to another by the laying on of hands. Often thought about it in the context of when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, That is one of the manifestations of the Spirit that dwells within us. And He chooses it, we don't. And I think that's a very important difference. When the Holy Spirit chooses to use us in that manifestation, then the best thing to do is just yield to it and go with it. Because it can make a big difference in another person's life. God may have been trying to speak something to somebody for a long time and they didn't pay attention or didn't hear for whatever reason, and then somebody comes to you and has a very crisp, clear word, and you speak it. And you know what's really cool is after it's spoken, the person that heard it already knows, once they hear it, that it wasn't a mistake. Because it confirms what God had already spoken to them to start with. But sometimes we just need a face, we need a voice to put with the Spirit, to connect it. And those are ways that God already has that worked out in His body, in the church. That's why you see these things happening. It's not always every time we come together, but a good part of the time we see various forms of this, and we welcome those, and we should seek after them and desire them. So the next time we address this a little further, it's my hope that we will get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we will eventually, I'm quite sure of that, so that we can read all of it together and then just break it down, all the sections that apply and how a New Testament body of Christ should function. Yes, David.
I never know when it's going to happen.
That's right.
It's usually in worship. And I won't speak unless I feel a tremendous anointing in my spirit, on me, my whole body. I can feel it. And I don't know what I'm going to say. It's like the Holy Spirit. I always ask the Lord to give me a scripture. I'm praying as that anointing's on me. Give me a scripture and at least a first sentence. And if I have that, then I have the confidence that I know the Holy Spirit wants to use me. And I'll begin speaking and the rest will all come.
Yes.
But I think, like you shared, a good part of being used to bless others, it's not about us, it's about the blessing that comes from that word. And if you've never been used in the different gifts, because there's many, ask the Lord to use you and trust Him, and you know He is so loving and patient. He'll use us, and it's exciting. It's very exciting.
It is. And I just can't say enough about encouraging you to be one of those people that would get up and say, "Lord, use me," and be ready. Just be ready. Might not be what you thought. But it starts with a willingness and to not shun away from these things, because they're very important, and if they weren't, then God would have never made them available to us. And we're just getting started in a lot of these for this time around. But when you see the bigger picture of how they all work together, the body of Christ takes on a different perspective of being whole and complete, lacking nothing. As you are as an individual, you're complete in Him. Colossians 1:10. There's nothing lacking in your life in the spirit realm that's not complete already. It's just getting a revelation of who you are, what you have. Coming to that place where you can do what God says you can do. You have what He says you have. You are who He says you are. It's one thing I like about Joel Osteen. He always, I think he got that from his dad, John. And he would have them all take out their Bible and hold it up in the air and make that confession. This is the word of God. This is the word for my life. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. And I am who it says I am. Every service, they make that confession of faith together because it gets you thinking about, oh boy, the word isn't just on pages anymore. It comes alive. And that's kind of like what prophesying does. It brings the word to life. So that it's just not words in a book anymore. And God will use you just like He used any of the Old Testament prophets, because in Christ there's no difference anymore. You're a prophet in your town. Yes, Charlena. Yes. Yeah, and it's always, and that's another thing too, it's not untimely, and it always fits with however a service is flowing, because the Lord is not rude and disrespectful or with confusion. There's different times. One of you show me by just, you know, like if I'm talking, I'll just stop. Imagine that. It's okay, Priscilla, I'm going to eat the fish too. Oh, Lord. Yes, Gary? Is that a wave offering?
Could you read Psalm 103, the last three verses?
The last three? Why me?
Because my book is zipped up.
Your what? Your Bible is where?
Zipped up.
Well, you lazy thing. Well, I guess that would be right before Psalm 104, wouldn't it? All right. Psalm 103? 20 through 22. I don't have a 23 in mind. You sure you want me to do this? Put you in the hot seat. Okay, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, you ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Mm-hmm. My friend Shirley Blow, when she died at Raymond, she missed some of this most. I think that she has said that before, but it's so important. You added to it very much this morning to me, Rick, and what you were sharing in the beginning about us teaching the Word of God. And the angels happened at the words. What happened with this woman? She was living with a couple of older sisters. One had the gift. They operate quite often the discerning of spirits. Another one that the Lord offered to get the word of knowledge about. And they're sitting there talking and praying, and then they get into talking and praying. And the one that had the gift of discerning of spirits saw these angels. They were sitting around them. And anytime they were praying or speaking the word of God, angels would get up and go. They were just talking about the weather or whether they're going to have a lunch or something like that, the angels were separate.
Yes.
The angels hearken unto the voice of the Lord. It says in Hebrews, the ministering angels sent to minister for the heirs of salvation.
Yes, that's correct.
They're ministering, they're servants.
Yes, and I spent quite a bit of time too on our, remember when we did months on the word teaching we did about our words, mm-hmm. and how that's very important. To, the angels will only function according to God's word. They don't just fly around and do their own thing. They only respond to the word. And so it would be nice that we could tune in more to hear his word too. Now I always believe that for myself, that I will hear his word more and more, so that I will act upon it more and more. Because a lot of times people, yes, God has given his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways, but if we never give them a job assignment by giving them the word, then it's like I could just see them standing here like this. Well, if he had only spoke the word, he wouldn't have hit that tree. That's how transformation works. When people started speaking the word and taking authority over the principalities and powers over geographic areas, they had to back off. And that gives the word free entrance for that period of time. So, yes, all connected. Anybody want prayer this morning?